Welcome to the One Within All to another episode of Innerverse Podcast. I'm your host, Chance, and I hope the Mercury retrograde through the sign of Aries is treating you a little more gently than it has me. I'm here, I'm present, we're in this now moment, and we're super excited to come forward with another episode where, rather than looking at symbolism and mythology and all of the patterns of this matrix that we're embedded within from the lens of the past and understanding that, today we're going to take our focus more forward-looking, and as I've said many times in the past, symbolic literacy is psychic self-defense. But what about going on the offense? How can symbolic literacy improve one's chances of success in life's mundane and material dealings? Well, lucky for us, we've got a true expert on that subject here with us today, Waters Above. His name is Jordan. He started a YouTube channel about 3 years ago, and since then, he's exploded in reach and has been helping many people get their symbolic chops ready for the many strange transitions that are on the horizon for our realm. In particular, of late, he's been looking at what the Year of the Dragon has in store for us, and he teaches courses about how people can take this to the next level for themselves, particularly involved in the realms of crypto and financial investment. So I'm really excited to get into this one. I'm going to keep the intro short. Everybody, welcome to the show, the symbolic scholar, coin decoder, and professor of the realm's most powerful patterns, Waters Above. Welcome to the podcast, man. How you doing?
I'm doing better every day, and I appreciate you inviting me on. Looking forward to this.
I'm doing better every day. Yes, that's, you know, I learned a long time ago, there's a hack. You can tell yourself it's the best day of your life every day, because technically it is. Technically, you're better than you were the day before, and then you get on a hot streak, and before you know it, it's like 100 days in a row, best day of your life. And that's powerful.
Yeah, I remember one time when I woke up, I was talking to a friend and they said, or they asked me how I was doing. And I said the same thing I just said moments ago. And then I asked them, how are you doing? And they said, I haven't thought about it yet. As if they were getting up and like they were thinking about how they were feeling. And I was just like, don't you see then? It's a choice.
It all comes down to choice. That's definitely what the Matrix teaches us. And there's an illusion out there that there's no such thing as free will or that it's all determined. But the funny thing is, choosing to behave as if everything is predetermined is still a choice.
It's kind of like being an atheist. You're still making a choice. You're still choosing in some way.
Absolutely. So, man, I'm a little newer to your work. I've done my best to go through some of your recent stuff. A lot of friends and folks involved in the sphere of podcasts that I'm interested in are definitely hot to your work. So I'd love it if you gave us maybe an introduction to who you are and like what led you to doing this interesting niche type work.
Yeah, of course. So I specialize in utilizing gematria, numerology, and astrology with financial markets, specifically cryptocurrency. And to just give people a quick definition of what gematria is, because that tends to be the more esoteric side to my work, is it's just an alphanumerical cipher system, which originates in Hebrew and in the Greeks with isopsephy. that's not what I'm doing in my work necessarily, because a lot of the time we're using the English language and not Hebrew or Greek. But with this system, you're able to take letters and it's tied to a numerical code. And the most basic one would be ABC is 1, 2, 3. So A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, all the way to Z being 26. And that's the basic system. And this is all based in what I consider to be all based in astrology, which then is based in mythology. So it all has to kind of come back to something. I don't just sit on a calculator and type things in and hope for the best. It has to have some sort of symbolic connection. It has to have some deeper origin. So that's pretty much what I focus most of my channel onto. But I also have technical analysis and stuff that's exoteric for anyone, you know, whether you're open and interested in the occult, or if you're just somebody who likes to keep things a little bit more on the in the traditional sense of finance, I could talk to those people too. So I've decided to kind of combine those two things so that I could have a flavor for everyone. And in the process, open people's minds and get them to be a little bit more aware to these elements that are outside of just the traditional sphere of news, narratives, and the stuff that we typically point a finger at if we get some type of movement in the market. So there's something else that's ruling what's going on here. And that's what I put my energy into on my channel.
Good stuff, man. We're definitely no stranger to those systems around here. You're talking to the advanced class with this audience. Like, just, and what I love about using these systems is that it's a way to prove to yourself experientially how everything is everything, and that your inner world experience is reflected in the outer world at all times, and that it's all synced up. Like, just last night, I was doing an episode of my live stream Vibrant, and we were talking about the symbolism of kings. And I looked into the gematria around the Latin word Basilius, which means king. And the Latin gematria for that word is 417. And we were doing that stream on April 17th. So wow. How much do you, how often do you get those type of like amazing direct hits?
Yeah, it's that syncretism. And I think it shows up more once you are aware and open to it. Like, a lot of the time people just have closed doors and they don't want to imagine that there's something like that. And I think one of the most common things I get when people find my work is they'll say, I always look at the clock and I see 1111 or 222 or whatever. And they ask me, like, what does that mean? You know, and it's one of the first things that happens in people's lives where they find some sort of numerical code and it resonates with them. And it kind of like triggers this intuitive desire to seek higher knowing. And that's really beautiful. And that's something that I think as we get closer into whatever age you believe we're in, I don't think there's anybody that can say they know for a fact if we're in the Aquarian age just yet. But it seems to be that more people are becoming open to these things such as numerology and gematria.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the more you look, the more you poke and prod at it, the more syncretism gets revealed to you. Now, I wanted to also ask, as we're at the beginning here, why did you choose Waters Above as your channel? Does that inform us about some cosmology that you could share in terms of how you see this realm?
Yeah, so the name actually originates from me studying World War II and this event called Operation Paperclip and Wernher von Braun's role in all of it. And I was already studying the esoteric side of decoding the Bible and these scripture, you know, the scripture in and of itself. And it brought me down all these different pathways. And in the book of Genesis, very early on, I think it's like line 6 or line 7, it mentions the waters above, and it talks about the firmament and the separation of the waters above from the waters below. And it gets into all of this during the creation myth. So anyways, the reason that Wernher von Braun is tied into this is because when I was studying Operation Paperclip and this particular individual, for those who don't know, he was the head of the Apollo mission. So the lunar landing, which already has a lot of conspiracy tied to it. And I found his tombstone, a picture of his tombstone had a Bible verse on it, which is pretty fascinating. And it's a Bible verse, Psalm something, but anyone could just go Google this for themselves. And what the verse essentially says is, the firmament showeth God's handiwork. And it's again pointing back to this firmament. So it's just fascinating how this particular individual who is in charge of the lunar missions, like the Apollo missions, is essentially putting on his gravestone that there is no outer space, that this is an impenetrable glass, kind of like, you know, firmament. And if you start looking more and more into this, it's across several other cultures. You see it in ancient Egypt. You see it in Babylon, Canaanite. You see it in Norse mythology and their symbolism, this sort of firmament dome. And I just got really fascinated with this concept and this idea. And also to go even deeper, and I don't know if I've spoken about this on any other interviews, but it's because people keep asking me this question lately. It also ties to the cerebral spinal fluid. So it's tied to that whole concept. And we could go deeper into that if you'd like. But since you mentioned you're the advanced group, you know, that's another thing of what is the waters above for the human being? It is the cerebral spinal fluid. So it's this liquid consciousness. And all of these ideas really, really resonated with me. It really hit home. And I was already kind of at a place in my life where I said, if I do something, I want to go all in. Like, I want this to really be something that in 20, 30, 40 years, whenever, 400 years, that I will feel purpose in it, and it will resonate in that way. So that's the long story.
That gives us a lot of stuff to circle back around to. Definitely want to talk more about what you brought up at the end there. But, you know, the best question that comes up whenever anybody is starting to be open to an alternative cosmology rather than the spinning speck of rock flying through an infinite void is, well, what's the point of the outer space myth? And I'm wondering, like, what's your opinion about that? What's the point? Why the lie? That's always the question. Why would they lie?
You know, it's interesting because it's depending on where you stand with it all. Like, I think for the elite, you know, I'll call them the apex predator, but you guys know who I'm referring to. I don't like calling them the elite, but the apex predator knows that they just need to keep us making choice and commitment to something. And if we could be in duality consciousness whilst we're making those choices, then we've already lost. Like, and that's really what I think the outer space or not believing in it thing has become. You have like the flat earthers and the ball earthers, and with you picking a side, then you always lose, because once you've made your choice there, you're gonna shut down the other side, right? You're unable to see it from different dimensions. So I want to clear that up very, you know, early on, that I am not a flat earther. I'm aware that this realm is not a spinning ball in outer space at 1,000 miles per hour with curved water and all of this other shit they tell us. But I'm not committed to this idea that we are a flat, completely flat, right? You know, there must be more to this. And throughout my study of esoterica and just the awareness of how all organic life comes to be, there's discrepancies in the narrative for sure. But this decision to commit and be so certain about the flat earth thing is almost like, for me, I'm allergic to that sort of behavior as somebody who's aware and is seeking higher knowing. And I like to just be explorative in this whole journey of consciousness and see where it goes. And that's why I love connecting with people that are open and not really too fond of those who just are in the debate of who's right or wrong. Because to me, there's no such thing as right or wrong. There's just different perspectives, different vantage points, and you have to decide what serves you and what serves your purpose. And in my truth, it's you making the choice to believe it's the ball earth or the flat earth. You're not serving your purpose then. You are being used to serve their purpose, and you become sort of the electrolyte in the battery, if you will. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I happen to agree with that. The flat earthers can be even more militant than the science trademark people. I see that a lot. Like, it becomes an excuse, like a reason to have an enemy. And I think that's why certain channels grow so big, is because they can call people baltards or whatever the case. Sure. And it's really more powerful to be in a position of not knowing, because that opens you up to see things clearly that you're observing rather than filtering them through the lens of what you already have as a preconceived notion. But I definitely think whatever this is, it's all life. It's all alive. And I like to imagine sometimes that what the realm is like a womb where some other form of life that is all of us together is gestating to be born into a dimension of scale larger. And just as the reincarnation cycle suggests that death is actually just the portal to the next life, it could very well be that the entire cosmos is just like Russian doll stacked wombs within wombs within wombs. Mm.
Yeah, I resonate with that a lot. It's something I say quite often. This Russian doll thing, this Matryoshka doll is huge in my vision. And you brought up this womb concept. And for those out there that like the idea or entertain the idea of simulation theory and this concept that we're in a simulacrum or a matrix, just go back to the etymology and look at that word womb. In French, it's matrice, which means matrix. So just kind of fascinating how the womb man is now coded with all this word spell, you know, word spells. And it's revealing to us. And it's about not about the definitions of the words, but about the meaning of the words. And that starts to reveal a lot as a decoder. So that's something that I put a lot of, you know, my time into when I'm helping others to not get so complicated. A lot of the stuff is right there in front of our face and it's always been there. And we speak a lot of these things, but we don't even know the language we speak. We've been taught it. And when you're taught it, it has nothing to do with your search or your seeking. The same way we were taught flat earth, we were taught that concept. We were taught ball earth. And this is something that I want people to, you know, reflect on. Take some time to reflect and you'll start to see like it's that neutral path that really allows you the clarity to start being what you are and where your own infinite potential lies, as opposed to this division. And that's very much a thing of this transition into the next age, is it's like we're in the moment of conflict. It's quite obvious. There's a lot of this kind of ego against ego and making the choice and making the commitment. And what's going to happen is as we move further along this, we're going to start to realize who's the real ones. Like, who are the people that are actually here to grow? Who are the ones that are actually here to make music, to make art and explore philosophy? Like, you can't explore art and philosophy if you're stuck in this one-sided perspective.
Now, philosophy is the love of truth. And if we were to give a quality or an attribute to the divine or God, it would be truth, simply put. It's what is, it's what exists. It's all that is real. And I find that, like, at least coming from the perspective of a man, in my life, in my history, at times where I became subservient to the feminine, or basically, you know, would do whatever it took for female approval, that's when I was most in the matrix. And the funny thing about that is that's not what causes the feminine to become supportive of you. The feminine actually starts to like despise and revile the male that acts that slavishly. And so back to this concept of simulation theory and matrix and womb meaning the same thing, I don't necessarily think that our existence is like a computer simulation, but I do understand that language because our realm seems to be constructed on language, which our easiest way to see an example of that is how computer code functions. And I think the reason why computers and coding and programming works the way it does technologically is because it's based on some kind of principle that is accurate to how the realm works. So in this mental, like hermetic, you know, law of mentalism view of the cosmos, it actually makes more sense for things to have these amazing connections through letters and numbers and symbols rather than not. And you would come to expect to see that. And the more you come to expect to see that, the more it reveals itself to you. So I wonder, you know, I just said a lot of stuff. I'll just kick it back to you without a direct question.
Yeah, I think what you're explaining right now is how the human would interpret it. So it's up to the human to want to rationalize, right? But in nature, there is no full integers. when we look at the waves in the ocean, I don't point over to you and say, hey, Chance, do you see that 1 billionth, 700 millionth, 497th thousandth wave? Or do I say, look at the waves, they're beautiful? And we almost realize that the harder it is to create a logical rationale behind something, the more beautiful it is. It's like when you fall in love with somebody, you don't have a reason. You just, your heart is speaking and thinking for you, and the mind goes to rest. So, yeah, so what you're explaining, the idea of numbers and language and all of these things, these are human concepts of the human mind. And in this simulacrum, like in this place, in this world, this so-called reality, we're basing everything off of the human experience. So it's important that we realize that, because we never check in with the dolphins and ask them their opinion on the recent skyscraper we built. We don't ask them their opinion on Amazon Prime. We don't ask them their opinion on the newest Netflix series that just released. We don't even bother. But it's fascinating that this particular animal is able to come up with its own communication system. Yeah. So we're always basing things off the human intellect, the human experience. And that rationale, that desire to put this logic behind everything, is actually our downfall. That's the disconnect we have from each other. That's where the ego, I think, starts to show up. So even with my work as a decoder and somebody who spends countless hours doing this, you know, getting into the nitty gritty behind the numbers, the code, the language, the numbers, the maths, I still have to remind myself on a daily basis to go back to the heart, like to go back to that place where there's feeling, where there's intuition, where there's purpose. The mind, on the other hand, should be used more like a file cabinet, and you should be doing your thinking and your movement and your actions and your choices from the heart. And too much time spent on the logic, I think, is kind of what's creating this dissonance and this disharmony in our species at this time. And unfortunately, it's even in the so-called truther community. It's even in the communities of those who are talking about expansion and consciousness and this, that, and the third. But I see this quite often. I'm like, I can tell that we still want this human perspective to be the pinnacle and this capstone of the pyramid of truth. And that, to me, might be why we're feeling the way we're feeling. You know, we're seeking the peoples who are more open to it from a feeling state rather than just the mental state.
There's a lot to what you just said, but first of all, coming back to feeling in the heart is, of course, crucial, because that is what consciousness is. Feeling and consciousness are synonymous concepts. In terms of, I really like how you described that there's, of course, no such thing as an integer in nature. And that applies as well to like things that we name. Like, there's a lot of power in a name, and there seems to be synchronistic aspects to how we call things in language, reflecting in number. But I guess whenever we're trying to really disentangle ourselves from that which is not us, it becomes important to be able to distinguish between fiction and reality. And we know, like, from the way legal sorcery works, that's all predicated on fictional identities. You know, everything that's a noun is fictional. Whatever we call a dolphin is not what it is in nature. That's just a fictional word applied to it.
Right.
And when it comes to integers, like numbers as quantity, that is actually fictional too. That it's just we make a conceptual division and say there's three apples here, but really there's infinite apples across past, present, and future. It's apple is a quality, not a quantity, just like numbers are qualities in reality. They're not quantities. You know, the quantities are just a conceptual framework to help us in day-to-day transaction consciousness, which it has its place. It definitely has its place, but it's about balancing those two. So maybe we could talk about numbers as quality being their primary attribute rather than quantity.
Yeah, you brought up something a moment ago that I think is important, and it's to mention that if you say that there's three apples here, but then you could also say that there's infinite apples right? I loved what you just brought up. And it's like, what's going on here is you are witnessing three apples. Like you are creating those three apples into existence apart from all the other apple trees that are spread across the realm. And you give attention to that. And then eventually you probably want to consume that. And then you develop this relationship with it. So it's like, it's really fascinating as we decode. It works very similarly. And the more you decode from that, like from those lenses, you become more in tune with the code and it starts to give you a lot better of an idea of how things are likely to go in the future if that's what you decide to do. Of course, you can use decoding solely for the purpose of knowing more about thyself, like to know thyself, to unlock gnosis. But yeah, I just like how you brought that up before because it's important, you know, it makes you start to see this quantum function of it all where once you start zooming in more and more and more, whoever has the better microscope is the one who sees the energy better. And like the more we are separated and the more we believe in separation, it's harder to reconnect. It's harder to, you know, to join back to it. So yeah, it's fascinating. Even if you think of things like astrology from the perspective of being born on a certain day and that's your code, being born in a certain year and that could come back to Chinese zodiac or whatever. But like ultimately, there's a piece of you that's timeless, right? Like there's your soul. Like your soul doesn't have a fucking birthday. Like your soul doesn't have a gender. Your soul doesn't have a beard. Your soul isn't wearing a shirt right now. Like, so that's I guess where we could answer that question that you just asked before is the quality versus the quantity. When you think from that perspective right there, it doesn't concern you any longer. And you start to look at things for like, I kind of have everything. Like I have everything I need. And you reconnect with grace, you know, you become more grateful. Perhaps this is one of the things that's making people so greedy right now. And it's common in my work because I look at crypto markets specifically and everyone wants to be like rich. And I'm like, yeah, but if you have a desire to be rich, that means that you're not even embodying what being wealthy is. How could you be something that you want that you also am agreeing to the fact that you are not it yet? You see the problem here? So, but also if I gave you all the billions in the world right now, you're probably going to fucking squander it, right? Because you don't even know how to be that. You don't even know how to be that person. You probably don't even want to be that person, truly. You just got influenced by looking at somebody else who had that, who could maintenance that, by the way. And you think that you would be happier or more feeling better or something. You know, it's all illusory. So it's really, that's kind of the quantity quality thing. I think so much mental health problems have come from this, like desire, misusing desire and thinking that more is somehow going to solve the world's problems. Meanwhile, we've seen we have the most abundance of all time and we have probably the most suffering.
Yeah, you know how it goes when people win the lottery, not so well. And
statistically,
one thing when I was trying to reprogram my psyche to have an abundance mindset and not in a fluffy way, but just to be prepped as and ready to receive that which would allow me to provide for those dependent on me and to bring my best soul mission forward in the realm. I did this exercise where for a month, I imagined having a certain quantity of money, like starting with $5. What would I do if I had an extra $5? Then the next day doubled it, $10. I don't know what the actual integers were, but I doubled it every day. And every day in this exercise, I had to decide how I would allocate that money. And it doesn't take very long before you're just like, I don't know what to do. But it's a really healthy exercise imaginally because it starts to allow your like imaginary framework of what is possible for you and what you actually want in the realm to be tied to the money rather than just that sort of nebulous feeling of desire or feeling of maybe even like greed or feeling of desperation to be tied to your income. And after that, I mean, it wasn't like instantaneous, but over time, my relationship to money did shift quite drastically to where I came into an awareness of there's always enough. There's always exactly enough for what I need. And it's rolled that way since. But I wanted to back up actually to Back to this quality quantity question of number. You brought up soul, and our soul is the same word as soul, like meaning one, solo. And I find that one of the biggest harms that comes into our interactions with each other is seeing souls as separate, when the entire idea of soul means one. When we see other souls as separate from our soul, it allows us to think that they're corrupt or they're doing something to us, rather than the truth, which is we're happening to life. Life isn't happening to us. And I do this biofield tuning stuff with clients where we explore their aura and what kind of trapped emotions or memories or beliefs are limiting their potential energy in their body or leading to disease or pain or dysfunction. And doing that gave me serious experiential knowledge that this soul concept really is one. And I would describe it as life force energy, that the life force energy that animates a body vessel is indivisible and not separate from the life force energy that gives everything else its existence. It's the thing that comes before the material. And that's the only way that I can make sense of why I can be in my living room waving around a tuning fork on a call with somebody in another state or as far away as Australia. And as soon as I hit the tuning fork, I'm aware that they had a car accident with head trauma at the age of 20. And they never gave me any of that information up front. But that's because the information is in the quality of soul. And I'm tuning myself to what their soul quality is holding on to in their, I don't even want to say portion of it. It's like it gets beyond our ability to describe it. But it's super helpful to remind yourself that there's not souls, there's soul. It's one.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
But okay, I'm going to kick an actual question to you now. You do these training courses where you help people become master decoders. And I'd love for you to talk about the psychic self-defense and the improvement of one's success in life's material ventures or just overall satisfaction and fulfillment through this symbolic literacy. Can you talk about like what you teach or the method that you take people through?
Sure. Yeah. I have this one particular course that I decided to come out with that changed the game, not only for my clients, but also for me, for backing up and taking the time to just go through this catalog and inventory of all the things that I've been doing throughout my self-mastery process, and to just compile it in something that's has utility for everyone rather than just fill your head with a bunch of information. So that is the Expansion Mastermind course. And the whole idea behind that was to combine these big parts of life, such as health, wealth, relationships. And when I say relationships, I don't mean necessarily just the sexual relationship you have, but the one that you have with all things, starting with the mind, right? And this awareness of what you said earlier, like the key law of the universe, all is mental, right? Mentalism. And going from there, and that's really impactful before you even make it into stuff like investing. Like you can't invest if you have no idea how to be at a vibrational frequency that allows you to portray an investor. And it doesn't need to be this Gordon Gekko character from Wall Street. Like it doesn't need to be that, you know. It could actually be something that kind of smoothly operates in the background. You just have to create an ecosystem for it. Like you would hang up a bird feeder outside of your house. You know, it serves its purpose. And it's, you know, although you have no control over the bird landing on the bird feeder, it has that, you know, ability to be there and be no different than you creating a product that's online that somebody could find and they could invest in that for themselves. So I talk a lot about this stuff. And I guess the number one thing that I've compiled throughout my time of talking to clients is that they have just a lot of limiting beliefs and they have so much potential, but they are not aware of how to tap into that potential. And when I got into the decoding thing specifically, for whatever reason, the way that it hit me at that time of my life, that it smacked me, it showed me this whole side of myself that I felt that I knew was there, but I just couldn't quite put my finger on what it was. And it unfolded, you know, pretty dramatically and rapidly. And it would not have worked or had any utility, though, if it wasn't for all the other stuff that I was working on beforehand. Like if I didn't take the time to do extended dry fasts and do, you know, some of the more like deeper work, I don't think this Gematria stuff would have resonated with me. I probably would have been like, ah, whatever. So yeah, there's this sequence to it all. And I think it's kind of one of those, like, you'll be there when you're ready to be there. And I wanted to compile something to be like a modules of reminders, because I don't feel like any of us are learning anything new. Like if you're listening to what I'm sharing right now, like it's not new information to you. If it resonates, it's because you're remembering it. I think we're all just wiping away this cosmic amnesia. And all I'm doing is getting very vulnerable about all of the things that I've been perceiving and trying to not let my mind get too in the way of it or my emotions get too in the way of it so that I could feel into it. And then hopefully, you know, then it's more like poetry or more like music. And I've been realizing that that way of teaching has really tapped into people in an expedited fashion, like in a very, very quick way. And that's probably the work that I tell most people about, because then it doesn't matter where you stand on investing or crypto or decoding. It's more about like, what is the process of being here amongst all this, you know, we call it soul, as you said, but being amongst all the beings, all the stuff, all the materials, and maybe being vulnerable about it because we've been avoiding it. We've been numbing ourselves with a lot of these technological luxuries. We've been doing so many odd things with all this abundance. And it's like a time maybe to take a step back and go, you know, how can I start utilizing all the stuff that I have and all the thoughts that I have and all the feelings that I have instead of letting those things rule me? So probably the biggest part of my work is that expansion mastermind that I came out with a year ago.
Honestly, if I'm understanding you correctly, it's not the answer I expected, but it is the one that makes the most sense. If I'm being truthful, it sounds like you're basically saying that self-work is what the expansion mastermind course is about. And I, you know, as somebody that's tried to improve my skills in various creative pursuits, I've found, I think that there's like a law here that there's a threshold or a plateau that you can't cross in improving your ability to create something, and generating income in any way is actually tied to that exact same process of physical creation. It's a sacral chakra governed thing that you won't get past that plateau or tier until you do something that improves yourself, whether it's like dropping an addiction or yep, making your mind function better by getting your health better. There's like, it's always that your creativity and your health are directly tied together. So that's what you're saying, isn't it? That the, what you are teaching is people to how people can make more correct or more functional is a better word for it, choices about their life and their health that then will reflect in them making more functional and correct choices in other areas that they're pursuing.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no difference than going to the gym. And I bring this up quite often. Like if you're trying to do pull-ups and you can't do a single pull-up, obviously 10 pull-ups is going to look very intimidating. So that's the same as being somebody who only has, and again, this is not for judgment. This is not for me to speak down on anyone, but if you only have $500 in your bank account, like what are you doing looking up to 500,000? Like you got to kind of figure out how to be able to master that level, right? It's kind of like a baby being a baby. You go from crawling to walking to running, but eventually once you learn how to, and I think this is where it'll resonate and not just me saying something where you're like, duh, I've heard that before. Well, it's like, once you've learned how to walk and then run, why is it that when you stop running, you start to become lazier, you have bad posture, you start to have problems with your hips and your ankles and your knees, right? Isn't that fascinating? How like if you don't use it, you lose it. Well, it's interesting that this is all coming back to like how to be sovereign and how to be self-reliant. Like you got to do the fucking work. And I especially noticed this in the spiritual community and the truther community is they get like too heady about this and then they never want to take action. And then simultaneously, there's people that just point the finger at the New World Order, where they're like, it's the World Economic Forum is why I'm poor. It's the whatever. And I'm like, well, you could do that all day, but you're never going to tap into your infinite potential. So I, again, like I took note of all of these things that I heard or observed that just didn't resonate with me. And I said, like, there's an opportunity for all of us here, and there's a lot more than one opportunity. And the only way to tap into that is to finally just realize that you have all of the same ingredients to cook this meal. But you don't just look at the ingredients on your cutting board and expect the meal to cook itself. You got to start chopping the vegetables, man.
But I don't know how. That's what people will say. I completely agree. I'm into the, I feel the same way about the truth community or conspiracy culture at large, that it's, as it's grown, and as it's grown and blossomed into quite a large, I don't even want to call it a movement because it's very static, but perspective, it's become an excuse for, like, the ultimate excuse for victimhood. And that's
correct.
That's why I'm so against the, what I call, like, pop culture Gnosticism or simulation theory perspective that says there's like a, that this realm is a prison and it's an evil demiurge that's controlling you and the archons are keeping you down and yada yada. Right. Because that's like, you can't get to a deeper excuse for victimhood and not doing the work than that. That's the biggest, that's the top, you know. It's like, I saw a cartoon one time that had, it was like a banker, and then there's a puppeteer behind the banker who was like a king, and then behind the king was like a reptilian, and behind the reptilian was like a gray alien, and then it was Cthulhu, and it just went on and on, you know. But that's sort of the that's sort of what conspiracy culture tends to look like, and it doesn't inspire action other than buying somebody's like promo code health shell products that may or may not have any benefit at all.
Yeah, I resonate with what you just said. And that's the same stomach reaction I had to this whole prison planet thing. Because I looked at the world around me. I'm like, I don't see, what are you talking about? Like, we have no gratitude anymore. We don't have any gratitude. Like, we believe that it's a prison because we want it to be. There's like that quote, I forgot who said it, some Japanese haiku poet, like, deep down in the core of every man, he wants the world to end. And that's very much what the truther community is comprised of at the end of the day. It's no different than the doomsday, you know, like, religious type. The demiurge just gets to be the Satan character, right?
When the demiurge, the word means craftsman. And so, like, the Matrix is a great allegory because the architect, as the demiurge, does definitely fit that. And when you look into the mythological canon or the mystery school traditions, below the surface of incomprehensible miracle story mythology, there's actually a universal thread of the destruction and regeneration of worlds in an infinite cycle. And to me, that's one of the most interesting aspects of it. And I wonder, you know, what you've seen that resonates to how you can look at life more functionally out of, rather than it just being like something's happening to us or we're all doomed.
Yeah, I think the number one thing that we could start doing is create. Like, when you start creating, you don't have any concern about who's destroying. Like, if that's probably the most simple way I could put it. Like, when you start creating, you're no longer concerned by who or what is destroying, because you're doing what you got to do. Like, if a woman was going into labor and she's about to push this baby out, do you think she's worried about what the two teams that are playing in the Super Bowl are doing? Like, is she worried about what the world, like, it's just like, it's, she has to fucking push a baby out of her. Like, and that's just my most extreme example of, like, bringing literal life, bringing a human child, the craziest form of alchemy that us humans can all do, regardless of your level of intellect. So, and that's a joke, but anyways, so where I'm going with this is, like, we need to create more. And I think that's probably the number one thing that I work with my people with, is like, all we got to do is create more. It's a great reminder. Actually, somebody in my community sent me a clip of something that I said on a live stream, And I never re-listen to anything that I do, but they sent me this one part and I just remembered it now. And I want to quickly share it just to see where you stand with it as well. I was basically just saying, like, if you have an issue with the food system, then grow your own fucking food. Like, if you have an issue with this world in some way, shape, or form, then start putting your resources, your money, your prana into that thing. You know, like, and for me, I always wanted to learn all the things that I consumed. So when I found out about like sourdough bread, I was just like, I want to learn how to make bread. When I started drinking, beer that was like high quality, like craft beer, I was like, I want to learn how to make this. Everything that I started consuming, I was just like, let's make it, you know? And once I did that practice, you get your hands in it, your judgment of it goes away because you're like, this is fucking difficult. It's not easy. So you're sitting here and you're drinking like Budweiser or whatever, and you have a big opinion about it and you say it sucks or whatever, it's cheap beer. But it's like, do you even know what is in this thing? Can you tell me the ingredients? And you can't. So it just, I'm not saying this to make people feel bad about themselves for not knowing what they consume. It's just take a moment to step back and think about, yeah, the chair in your room might be uncomfortable, but until you become a carpenter, maybe like that's your opportunity, right? Like you could complain about the world at large. You could complain about the taxes. Fucking study the tax code. Like just take the time and energy to being one with the thing that you're having an issue or conflict with. And then it will go from being a competition to a collaboration. And this is something we could also do with our partners, with our relationships. We're not doing so well at that most of the time. So this is a key piece to it all. You want to have a healthier relationship with somebody, create with them. Stop just only consuming. And I'm not telling you to have a baby, by the way. I'm saying that do something shared together that you can both now be a part of that brings you and unites you. And then you'll see things sprout from that. You'll see new life come from that. You'll see new conversations come from that. And you won't walk around with this bitterness of like judgment about every single little thing that exists. And then also you get to learn a skill. Like there's something that comes out of you not liking the table and then learning how to make tables. You have a better table now. And you also learned a skill. That's the number one thing that I could, you know, I could talk about it forever. And to just finish up the idea here, it's, I get this often with the market, with trading and with this whole investing thing. People come to either my channel or they just say it in general, like technical analysis is bullshit. Like it doesn't work. It doesn't matter. Right. And then I'll say, why do you feel that way? And they said, well, somebody told me that it doesn't matter. And I'm like, if anyone in your life tells you to not learn a skill, I want you to run as far away from that person as humanly possible. Because when what they're doing here and you don't realize it, when somebody can tell you that you should not learn a skill, they're basically also telling you to just follow them. And that's a cult. This is scary that we have a world of people that just tell other people, don't learn the skill, just follow me. Okay, where are we going then? Wouldn't the world be so much more beautiful if we all just learned skills and then we didn't need to rely on the trash system and the tack and all of this other, like who cares about if they don't clean the streets or if they don't fill the pothole? There'll be a million of us out there making the street better than the fucking government employed workers could. But we don't want to do that, right? Because we like kind of like this quote unquote prison planet, right? Like we call it a prison planet. But yet again, we like when somebody shows up and takes our garbage out for us. We like when somebody, the mailman delivers the fucking mail. We like when the vegetables show up at the grocery store. Now, I'm not trying to, you know... I'm not trying to rant here, but I hope that this is, you know, tapping into people. So I vibe with what you said, brother, about this whole victim thing. And it's not just in that truth or sense. It's really in many senses. in one hand, we like to talk shit about the system, but then we don't even notice how much we really love it. It's like the last Matrix movie that came out where they said, they love the blue pill. Like, they love it.
Yeah, we'll make the movie intentionally as bad as possible, and people are still going to go watch it, and they're going to complain about it, but they loved complaining about it. They loved to hate it. And yeah, everything you just said was 100% slam dunk. I will say, though, that I will tell people to make a baby. That's like really, like, that's our best resource. In terms of, what would it be? This kind of goes back to that question of raising your threshold or capacitance for what you would do if you actually had the resources. But like, what would you do if you were a ultra rich farmer, a rancher of humanity, and you see this type of childlike behavior in these conceptual masses? Would you do a better job running Budweiser? I don't know. And just, if you don't like it, don't involve yourself with it. But people complaining about what is destroying the world or what they see as the destructive force while themselves basically 90% of their life is consuming, well, that's destroying. So we just got to get that balance of creating and destroying back into alignment within our own life. And then all of a sudden, the big scary boogeyman, you can kind of empathize with them and they don't touch you in the same way. And
yeah, you're protected even when you realize that.
Exactly. When you trust that, when I see it as like a big trust thing, that you see yourself rather than having to be the provider for your family, but instead that you're the conduit for the infinite abundance that is already in existence. And by doing your best to do the right thing whenever you can, you'll soon learn that whatever you need is going to show up somehow. Like, if you do the best you can at all times, then life does the best that it can do for you. But it definitely starts with getting out of that inner void, that feeling of emptiness that comes from being pure consuming and creating something. And it doesn't even matter so much what it is that you create. It's more like, you know, you find your aptitude or your talent based on what you care about. That care, you know, talent is a myth that allows people to hold on to that victim mentality of, I can't, but I don't like how they're doing it either. Realize that, like, whatever you care about that gives you enthusiasm, that in theos, that's what brings the God energy out of you. Like, I think that all the different people in the world are the multiplicity of it all. They're peepholes for the divine. And where there's the most fun and excitement and genuine enthusiasm is where the divine attention focuses and congregates on that peephole, which allows for these synchronicities to accelerate super powerfully.
Beautiful. Yeah. It's really important that we ask ourselves, like, what am I stoked about? Like, what do you keep getting drawn to? And that's the best place to start. Like, it's the number one thing I do with all my private clients. I tell them, like, what you're asking me that of what I would do if I was you, but I'm like, why do I matter? I'm not you. Like, I'm an extension of you in a sense. I'm a mirror, and I know you resonate with me and all of this cosmically aligned for a reason. But like, what are you stoked about? What are you excited about? And then they'll say something and then it'll follow up with, but I'm not sure that I can make money off of that. Or I'm not sure if that's something that I could be doing for 5 years or 10 years. Like, that's it. That's why you're not doing things, because you aren't letting your heart make the decisions for you. Your mind is like cock blocking you every single time. And if you keep doing that over and over and over again, you will not move. You will be a stagnant pond. And I don't think we're designed to be that way. Like, the human species is designed to go from one passion to another passion to another passion until we've just compiled and mined so much consciousness from all of these experiences that we literally become divine in a sense. We have like wrapped a tentacle around something that we gave attention to. And the only thing that's making that more difficult today, and I think that's where we'll start taking up this conversation, is like, reel it to the utility of the now. the reason why it's not so easy today is because of these conveniences and this renting culture. So I'll give one good example. I was walking down the street the other day and I noticed that all the people who are riding bikes are not riding their own bicycle. They're riding these rented bikes, like these Uber bikes or whatever, like these rented scooters, rented bikes. And I thought when I was a kid, I thought back to when I was a kid and how like the bike was my property and it was my responsibility. And if I came home without my bike, I would be reprimanded. I would be punished. And I'm not saying it's good to punish your kids for that purpose. But what I'm saying is there was a sense of like ownership in a way that developed the sense of responsibility and care for stuff, for something. And I know right now some people that are like the more spiritual types are going to be like, well, we shouldn't care about the stuff we have. And I'm like, well, that's exactly what the apex predator wants. They want you to get on the fucking shitty plastic bike that you rented for 10 minutes and then throw it on the side of the road. And you want to know what happens when you do that 99% of the day? Watch how you treat humans. You will start to treat humans the same exact way. Every human interaction you have, you will treat them like a rent a moment. And this is the disconnect and dislocation of the communication that we have. It's like that Tool song Schism where he says like, we're basically falling apart communicatively. You know, obviously not verbatim, but the point here is that when you start treating everything like it's this momentary use case for your pleasure and you believe you deserve it at the same time, this is what you're going to start doing to the people in your life. So I think what you were kind of summarizing before, the one big quality that I think perhaps we could self-reflect on and remind ourselves of is like, you don't actually deserve anything. There's nothing that we actually deserve. The king doesn't just get the crown placed in his lap. Like the king goes and grabs the crown and puts it on its own head. And that type of energy, that I know that's quite a masculine energy, but also it takes shape in many other ways. It could even be applied in the feminine sense. This is the most attractive energy. And that attraction is very influential. And it's a ripple effect. And right now, we don't have that much today. We very much have this momentary, like, rent a thing, rent a person. Everything is so momentary. And it's like transhumanism is so easy to pull off in this current state of affairs. If you're somebody that currently has a job or you're currently in a position where, like, you're feeling that you have more to this life, that you want to tap into it in a higher sense, in a more purposeful way. If you have money to invest right now, put like 80% of it into you. Start a business, like create a cash flow stream that could replace the job that you have right now. It's pretty obvious that everything's going to gig work and that AI is replacing it. Robots are replacing people too. So we're at the final stages of the human workforce. And then I think that that's going to make people feel purposeless. And if you feel purpose, then that will bring in depression. And then that will make the birth rate decline. And that will make the speed. You see, it's a very like, it's the domino effect. So right now is the most beautiful opportunity of them all as a conscious being, because a lot of people are kind of giving up. And I know that sounds sad, but this is your opportunity to like invest in yourself beyond what the market does. I wish these crypto people would maybe talk more about this, because there's too much of this like go FOMO into the new altcoin energy. And it's like, but these people are working at a job they hate, not feeling much purpose. And then they're putting in their very little bit of extra cash into like a Hail Mary pass and nobody catches the ball. Like, and that's really destructive, because that could lead you to making bigger, more destructive decisions. So I hope all of that stuff kind of like gives a well-rounded, you know, outlook and thesis on what's happening right now.
Absolutely, my dude. I really like that that's where we got to at the end. Speculate on yourself. That's definitely the quote of the episode. So if you want to give everybody a reminder where they can find your stuff and what you'd like them to interact with, I would appreciate it. And it's been an awesome conversation, dude. I hope maybe we can do it again sometime.
Yeah, I would love to reconnect. I'm sure there's many, many other things that we could chat about. But yeah, just feel free to check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/@watersabove, or just search Waters Above. You'll see my brand aesthetic show up and pretty easy to find, and just take it from there. If you want to check out my website or anything else, it'll be in the description box of my videos. And if you want to get started somewhere, just watch the last video I put out. I feel like that was the one. That might be the most important video I've ever made, because of me talking about so many of the things that just unfolded since this solar eclipse. And I have, it's not about proving myself. It's just, I want people to see the power behind this code that I'm trying to get people to tap into, you know, and that video was one that I put a lot of energy into formatting in a way where people of any level, no matter if they knew about my work or didn't, could come to it and go, wow, you know, like this is something. This is something that we might want to start paying a little bit of attention to, because it wasn't just about crypto. It was about this fire that just happened at this Copenhagen Stock Exchange building. It was about this drone strike with Israel and Iran. It was about this correction that we've been seeing in the stock market. A lot of things were touched on that video, and it focuses a lot on this particular year of the dragon. So I think that's a great starting point. And if you resonate, then just check out the links in the description.
Yeah, man, that was a really good video. It's "We Expected This, Now Here's What's Coming Soon." That's the title for anybody that might be hearing this in the future and you've put out something else. And it's a good one to get the flavor of all of the range that you've got, which is quite impressive. Never seen anybody speaking about financial markets while also having this spiritual comprehension of what life is and how the world really works and the inner outer reflection. So it's been a super unique and valuable conversation, man. Thanks for coming on. Take care.
Yeah, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate your community. Much love.
Hallelujah and glory to the Most High. Waters Above, what an interesting guy. I did rhyme. This was such a good conversation. And as I, you know, this was actually 4 days ago, which feels like 2 weeks ago at this point. So much has happened, but I do have fond memories of this conversation. And as I recall the day that it occurred, I was, I won't say I was spiraling, but I was coming to the realization that when Mercury is retrograding through your sun sign, you feel it a little more. And luckily, Jordan, Waters Above, was extremely gracious with my miscommunications. In particular, we started a little later than our scheduled time because I got mixed up on which way the time zone went. And so I was at the gym and he's like, "I'm ready for the link." And I was like, "I'll be there in 20 minutes. So I also had to kind of do the intro off the cuff. If you're used to my more poetic flow state, that was an improvised introduction. But disclaimers aside, I think that everything about that conversation occurred exactly as it was supposed to. And I look forward to connecting with him again and talking to him about a variety of things. In particular, I enjoyed how just spiritually grounded he was. Like, he's just steady and gracious he was, and kind about my my miscommunication and frazzledness at the start. But in particular, I want to let you guys know about what happened in the Plus extension if you're curious about part two, because part two was great. Even gave me a little, you know, he kind of pushed to the limit of his own schedule so that he could give us close to an entire hour for part two, which was really kind. He didn't have to do that. And we talked about the monomyth as it's encoded in all of us and in human events, how human psychology dynamics inform human creations. That was amazing. The Hebrew calendar cycles and financial markets. That, you know, I'm not saying that people with tiny hats run the economy, but people with tiny hats may run the economy. We discussed the maritime ritual around birth. That was something he brought up spontaneously. And of course, that means I had to pivot over and discuss placenta mysticism. And that was a really cool, thought-provoking moment in the Plus extension. We discussed the, you know, placenta mysticism. Let me back up. If you're new to that topic, you need to know about it. So I don't know the best way to encapsulate that in a short while, but it involves forming a relationship and consciousness around like what happened to your placenta and the bioresonance to cellular material and even the spiritual capacity of and life force of all biological entities that continues and persists after death. And so, like, ask yourself, what happened to my placenta? Was it traumatized? Is it my divine twin? Can I connect with it and heal the trauma of that entity and form a stronger connection with my holy guardian angel? These are the kind of questions we were talking about with placenta mysticism. I don't want to leave people out. So give a little bit of an overview. It's something I've talked about a bunch in the past. Anyway, other stuff in the plus extension was the development of the power, superpower of shower thoughts, healthy investing perspectives rather than playing in the crypto casino. This is when we really got into his whole crypto side of his work, which is kind of the main thrust on his own channel. And I asked about what does the year of the dragon have in store for us? So all of that and more, but in particular, if, you know, investing is something that you're interested in finding your way towards, this is a type of person that I would actually like to send people towards. You know, he says, speculate on yourself. I really like that. And I like that the healthy investing perspective has to do with, you know, passing forward, being the custodian of something and improving the value of that thing through proper stewardship and then passing it forward to the right person in a way that's mutually beneficial where, you know, it's a win-win. I like that perspective. So I enjoyed this conversation. Other things I'd like to talk to Jordan about would be what he meant when he referenced human anatomy as evident in media events or as a way of decoding media events. You know, more about what he thinks the realm is potentially, especially the question of the cerebral spinal fluid and his experience raising it, what that means, what he thinks about life after death, you know, or other expanded consciousness experiences you might have had. All of those sound like really cool topics. All in all, glad and grateful that I was able to connect with them. Looking forward to a potential round two someday. And I think he's definitely down for it. So I'll have to keep following his channel and formulate a game plan for another talk. Beyond that, there's lots of ways you can support Interverse. I particularly think you should just join my Patreon or my Rockfin or my YouTube membership program. That's what's going to get you the plus extension. That's one of the strongest win-wins you can do for a bargain, in my opinion, especially Patreon. $5 a month gets you the archive of everything I've ever done. And if you're new to this channel and you like the more mystical, esoteric side of what Waters Above is about, you're going to learn a lot. You know, he's kind of more forward-thinking with his decoding, whereas I like to decode the past and show that history is a lie agreed upon that you can demonstrate through astrotheology. And I like to teach the keys of the esoteric system or the keys of symbolism and all of those keys of the universal symbolism, the universal system of priestcraft are fully applicable to the signs and symbols that rule our world today. And as I like to always say too, picked up from the great Michael Tessarion, that psychic self-defense is, it requires symbolic knowledge. Like it is psychic self-defense. That's a huge point. So one way that you can support the show and really buff up your game on symbolism would be to check out the Spirit World series of books. You can get the audiobooks of that narrated by me. That's going to be linked in this show notes. Spirit World by Dylan Sicoccio. Very powerful transmission of esoteric knowledge right there. Other things you can do, you can get Tippecanoe Herbs with the Interverse coupon code for 10% off. That's very powerful medicine. I've also got Biofield Tuning Services. If that's something you're curious about and you want to learn more, go to interversepodcast.com/sound-healing. And that's where I use sound and divination as a way to help you fine-tune your psyche, remove limiting belief systems, and figure out ways that that's actually going to improve your bodily energy and your health in various ways, and also your experience of the external world. All of that is in the mix. So thanks everybody for tuning in. I'm going to let you guys go for now. Been a full day. Got lots of good stuff in store. The podcast seems like it's just really on a big expansion right now with a higher tier, higher quality than ever of guests and topics, which I'm grateful for. Join our Telegram groups if you want to connect with a community of conscious, like-minded individuals who are questioning everything and symbolically literate. Good idea. And check the show notes for all the things I listed and more. And I'll check you Guys, I'll catch you guys on the flip. All right, I got to go eat dinner. Good night. Much love. Bye-bye.